So imagine spending like $1,000 upgrading your BMW's brakes to premium track day pads, only to pull up to a red light sounding like a dying smoke detector.
Oh man, that is, yeah, that's trap so many drivers fall into.
Right. Today in this deep dive, we're unpacking Ferodo brake pads. We've got a whole stack of forum reviews, head-to-head tests, and technical specs, basically to figure out why upgrading your brakes is, well, sometimes the worst thing you can do for your daily commute.
Because people just assume spending more money automatically gets you better experience, but brake chemistry just doesn't work like that at all.
Exactly. And Ferodo is totally a brand that invites that kind of, blind investment. I mean, they have a 125-year history.
Yeah, massive history.
They're the original factory equipment for heavy hitters like Land Rover and BMW. But expecting every Ferodo pad to act the exact same way is like, it's like assuming every shoe a brand makes is a marathon runner. You wouldn't wear a carbon-plated racing shoe to casually walk to the grocery store.
No, definitely not. And that's a perfect way to look at it. I mean, that factory equipment history buys them credibility, sure.
Right.
It proves they do rigorous dynamometer testing, which is, strapping brakes to a massive machine to simulate real-world stress. But Ferodo isn't just one magic brake pad.
It's a massive
It's
catalog.
exactly, with vastly different chemical compounds.
So let's look at their everyday line first, the Premier. There's this baked-in assumption that aftermarket parts are always a compromise compared to factory stock. But I saw this head-to-head test where the Premier actually beat factory Brembo replacements in cold bite.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, cold bite is absolutely critter.
Because that's the morning commute, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's how much friction the pad generates the very first time you hit the pedal on a freezing morning, long before the brakes have warmed up. For a typical commuter doing, say, 30 to 40,000 miles, the Premier compound is literally designed to grip instantly at low temps.
But then, okay, then we have the DS2500. This is their performance line. And man, the forum reviews on this give you whiplash.
Oh, I bet they are highly debated.
Like during a test at Virginia International Raceway, the DS2500 showed zero brake fade, meaning the pedal never went mushy even after multiple high-speed laps.
Which is incredible performance.
Right. But then I read a review from a BMW 2 Series owner who installed them just for daily driving, and he called them a massive downgrade from stock. Wait. If they're virtually invincible on the track, how could they possibly be a downgrade on a run to the grocery store?
Well, because the exact same high-friction materials that allow the DS2500 to survive a 500-degree track day are exactly what make it a complete nightmare at 10 miles per hour.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Racing pads need intense heat to activate their friction chemistry. When they're cold, they feel totally wooden. And more importantly, when you try to gently stop at a red light with a cold racing pad, they squeal loud enough to wake the dead.
Okay, let's talk about that noise, because it's literally the number one complaint across all the forums. Why does a premium pad vibrate and shriek like that?
So it really comes down to something called the bed-in layer. When you install new pads, you're supposed to do a series of hard stops to transfer a micro-thin layer of friction material directly onto the bare iron rotor.
Okay.
From then on, the pad is actually gripping that transferred layer, not the bare metal.
Oh, so it's like seasoning a cast iron skillet. You bake that layer of oil on so things glide smoothly.
That is exactly it.
But
Yeah.
if you just idle in stop and go traffic.
It's like scrubbing that seasoned pan with steel wool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, gentle, cold braking in traffic literally scrapes off that protective friction layer. Without it, the brake pad chatters against the bare steel rotor, and that causes those high-frequency vibrations we hear as, well, an ear-piercing squeal.
So you're not even dealing with defective material. You've literally just stripped your seasoning. How do you
Yeah.
fix that?
Well, you can usually fix it by doing a proper rebedding cycle, just finding an empty road and doing several aggressive stops to melt that layer back onto the rotor. And if that fails, you look at mechanical fixes, like applying high-temp grease to the back of the pads where they touch the caliper or chamfering the pad edges.
And chamfering.
Yeah, it's just filing down the sharp 90-degree edges of the pad into a smooth slope so they don't catch and vibrate against the rotor.
Okay, wait. Before anyone starts filing down their brake pads, we really need to talk about a serious safety issue popping up in these forums.
The counterfeits.
Yes, the counterfeits. Finding genuine Ferodo pads is getting tricky, and fake friction material is just terrifying. I mean, we're talking about pads made with cheap fillers like compressed sawdust or uncured resins.
Oh, it's so dangerous because under heavy braking, those cheap resins literally vaporize from the heat.
Wait, vaporize? vaporize?
Yeah, and that vaporization creates a layer of gas right between the pad and the rotor, which physically pushes the pad away and just completely eliminates your ability to stop.
That is horrifying. So if you're buying Ferodo, you absolutely have to look for their PrioSpot authentication label on the box.
You have to. It has a very specific anti-counterfeit code.
Right. And if that code doesn't scan or the label looks like it was printed on some cheap inkjet, just walk away immediately.
Absolutely.
So bringing this all together, the big counterintuitive reality we found in this deep dive is that upgrading to a premium track part can actually ruin your car's daily drivability. Yeah. You really have to match the pad to how you actually drive.
Exactly.
Get the Premier for your commute and only grab the DS2500 if you're actually hitting the track and, you know, don't mind terrifying pedestrians with brake squeal on your way home.
Which, you know, actually brings up a really fascinating lingering thought based on that disappointed BMW owner we talked about.
Oh, what's that?
Well, the EPA is actively forcing manufacturers to phase out copper in brake friction materials. And copper is incredible for dissipating heat and providing that instant cold bite.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So without it, our modern environmental regulations quietly degrading the initial bite and performance of our brake pads compared to batches made just, say, 5 years ago.
Man, that's...
It's definitely something to think about the next time you press the pedal.